Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Football Friday presented by Carbach and the greatness that is Hopadillo. The OG John Lopez taking care of business. Wade Smith in. We don't need to set the table. Like, honestly, I'm not going to sit here and set the table. Blah, 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 blah. Texans got a big game on Sunday. It's Football Friday. Let's just jump right into this, Wade Smith. What the hell needs to change on Sunday for the Texans to not embarrass themselves like they did on Thursday night against the Kansas City Chiefs?
Can we go back in time? Can we go back in time?
Go back.
And bring a couple of guys that are on the roster, no longer on the roster now, and bring them back in order to have more elite players, because that's the only thing that would give the Texans a legit opportunity this Sunday, is if you had guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Reader and Clowney on this roster. You look at the roster of the Ravens, you look at the roster of the Texans, they have a better football team, and then they have an identity. So when you put somebody that has better players and more sense of who they are and knowing what they're going to do, that's what you have to kind of bring to the table for you to say, you know what, yeah, we can beat this team. We know that if we play them 10 times, we're going to win, you know, 7-8 out of 10 times. Right now, the Texans don't have that. The Texans don't have the horses. And if you don't have the horses and you don't have the identity, it's going to be very difficult for you to beat some of the top teams in the league.
All right, so you look at the Ravens, you look at their last three losses. We laid out the formula for the last few losses they've had. And really, it's come down to running the rock. It's come down to running the pill. Nick Chubb, who you saw yesterday and heard on Sports Radio 610, had 165 against them in week four last year. And then Derrick Henry had the 190-plus in the AFC Championship game. It comes down to running the pill, really. And David Johnson, if there is anything positive that we can take away from the Texans' first game in Kansas City, David Johnson looked good. 11 carries, 77 yards. Are the Texans physical enough up front? You're a former NFL offensive lineman, 12-year vet to be exact, former Texans Pro Bowler. Are the Texans physical enough up front to be able to run the pill against this Baltimore squad? Which, by the way, I say the formula, they did add a pretty damn good player in Calais Campbell and a pretty good linebacker out of LSU. So they kind of addressed their issues in the offseason. But can the Texans, who've invested the second most in the NFL on the offensive line and more draft equity than anyone, and they traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson, can they run the pill?
They are physical enough to run the ball on anybody in the league, but you have to call and dial up those plays, and you have to be creative with the ways that you do it. That's the thing. A lot of the teams that run the ball well, they don't just line up and hit you in the mouth. They come up with a variety of ways to get you to – the same basic thing where they're hitting you in the mouth. But you can't just line up and say, you know what, we're going to put our two tight ends in the game and we're going to come off the ball and we're going to allow you to get an extra guy in the box because you know what we're going to do, and then we're going to run the ball effectively. The Texans against the Kansas City Chiefs, they ran the ball effectively, especially early on in the game, because they were doing it off of RPOs, they were doing it off of zone reads, they were doing it off of situations where you're in 11 personnel or you're in personnel groups where it doesn't tell you that you're going to run the football. And they did a good job up front of double teaming guys like Chris Jones. They were physically moving him from point A to point C. That's a couple of gaps removed to where he was supposed to be. That is what they physically showed me on tape, what they can do. But the question is are they going to dial that up? Are they going to be creative in order to get that done on a consistent basis? Because if they just line up and try to hit people in the mouth and they don't disguise anything and they don't give them a creative motions and formations and things of that nature in the personnel groups, then they're not going to be able to run the ball effectively. But it for sure is what you need to do to beat the Ravens. You got to be able to be physical. You got to hit the bully in the mouth. And that's what the Tennessee Titans did last year.
Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG. Figgy Fig holding it down here on a Football Friday. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. I like the way you just broke it down. That's some good X's and O's talk there. But I think this could also come down to something that I think a lot of people can relate to.
What's that?
I know I can relate. You don't go to college for 6+ years and drink away semester after semester with being able to relate to maybe the biggest key to the game for the Texans on Sunday. Seth Payne brought this up. And there we got former NFL players. We got statisticians like myself breaking it down. But Whiskey Johnson might be what it comes down to on Sunday. Here is
what?
Seth Payne,
bro, what are you talking
about the
man?
Biggest key to the game. All my guys out there, shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you're a Loophole, can relate to this. It can be a good thing or it can be a bad thing. But with everything we just said, Sunday's game might come down to Whiskey Johnson.
There's something where sometimes you can get to a certain point, but then ultimately it holds you back. And I can't stop thinking about the phenomenon of, let's call it Whiskey Johnson, where when you got the Whiskey Johnson, and it's like, it does certain things for you. It helps you last longer and what have you. And maybe it makes you better in one respect, but ultimately you're never going to be the world's best lover if you're relying on the Whiskey Johnson to always bail you out. And I feel like O'Brien does certain things that gets his team to a certain level. But then after that, it's just you got the – this offense has Whiskey Johnson.
Yeah.
It's one or two extra shots beyond the point of ideal returns.
I have no idea if the Texans are ready for this game on Sunday. I have no idea if the coaches, the players, the staff, I have no idea if they're ready. Whiskey Johnson?
Yeah, the Whiskey Johnson.
The Whiskey Johnson. All
sometimes right. The Whiskey Johnson gives you great gifts, and other times it just embarrasses the hell out of you.
Fair enough. Fair enough. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on a Football Friday presented by Carbox Hoppadillo.
That analogy brought to you by years and years of lulling women into thinking I had more endurance than I did based on the fact that I was drunk the first time we heard.
Whiskey Johnson.
Hey, bro.
That's all it is.
I mean, listen, bro. You got to give Seth Payne so much credit for being so creative with how he put it out there, a term that has been used and is near and dear to a lot of our hearts that have been out. You know, kicking it.
It's
and,
basically
and
boomer decided, bust. Yeah, it's basically boomer bust.
You decided to go home, and you know what I mean? But you had some extra oomph, extra pep in your step and ability to last when you got home to your wife or to your girl or whatever, or when you brought one home with you from the club, whatever it may be. That is a beautiful thing that he was able to translate that into something that was palatable by the FCC. I got to salute him for that.
Whiskey Johnson.
Whiskey Johnson, man. That's a beautiful thing. But I tell you what, I'm not sure how this applies to the Houston Texans, because the Houston Texans, I'm trying to figure out when did they have the endurance? When did they have that performance?
Week six against KC last week or last year.
Last year.
Last year.
So that was the – but see, Whiskey Johnson is more times than not, it's going to work out for you as opposed to the alternative. And maybe different people react to it than other people do. I'm a big fan of Hennessy.
It's not you, baby. It's not you, I promise.
It's not you, it's me.
I promise.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to figure out the
Timmy was buying me shots, babe. Timmy was buying me shots, babe. I'm sorry.
You're like, what kind of shots, babe?
Whiskey.
Whiskey shots.
I want some nasty, though. And I know it's very cliche to say nasty, but I've created a monster in J.J. Watt. Potty mouth J.J. is what I want. I'm tired of Captain America. I'm tired of throwing the ball with kids. I want a nasty-ass J.J. Watt. I want him basically poking Lamar Jackson in the eye under the dog pile. I want him rolling his ankle, twisting his ankle. I want him throwing dirt in the face of his opponents. This is just a little taste of This is a representation of what J.J. Watt should sound like, and this is a representation of what I want to see from J.J. Watt on Sunday.
Yeah, we need to play better. We need to tackle better. We need to execute our assignments better. We need to get off the field when we are on third down. I mean, you can't give up a 17 or 19 play drives, whatever that was. You have to play better defense all around. Like I said, you know, something as simple as tackling, we need to do that better. Execute and deliver.
Potty mouth JJ. Give me potty mouth JJ and give me Whiskey world
defensive
Johnson.
Lineman JJ Watt.
I need potty mouth JJ. I need Whiskey Johnson, but I need everybody. I'm talking about everybody on the roster with that same mentality and that same get up and go. You got certain guys out there that's making comments that, you know, they just didn't feel like they were going full speed out there. Like, what do you mean you wasn't going
we'll
full
get
speed?
Into that.
Yeah, so, I mean,
we'll get into that.
That type of stuff, you know, I can appreciate the fact you being honest with the media, but at the end
we'll
of the day,
that.
At the end of the day, you know, good and got ooh, I was about to say, good and well that this was the biggest game of the year. It's the first game of the year. Everybody's got to be ready to go. Everybody's got to have that mentality that what'd you call him? What, J.J.? What'd you call
Potty mouth, JJ.
Potty mouth, JJ. We need that out of everybody on the roster because that's what you're going to need to beat the Baltimore Ravens because that's what they lived at. They live by that. They die by that mentality of they're not going to play anything but a physical brand of football, hit you in the mouth, and then they got guys that are elite athletes. So that's what it would have to take in order to compete with and play with the Baltimore Ravens.
Let's hear from the quarterback. We've talked about what we want to see. We've talked about the changes, but we know – it's all about the quarterback in this league. Here's Deshaun Watson having a little back and forth with our own John McClain, who joins us at 10:40 right here on Sports Radio 610, talking about what needs to change on Sunday.
Deshaun, what would you, after the first game and working with Tim Kelly for the first time with him calling plays, what would you like to see the offense be more efficiently doing against the Ravens?
We just want to continue to run the ball. Do what we do as far as, you know, getting our guys in position to make plays. That's the biggest thing. And I feel like in every game plan, you got to have that mentality. Every offense around the league wants to run the ball. So, you know, got to make sure we're doing that and staying focused on that.
Sounds good, but it's easier said than done for this offense. I'm intrigued to see the first chance for Anthony Weaver and Tim Kelly to adjust because that's where coaches – that's where a lot of coaches – that's where the bread is made for a lot of coaches, and that's how a lot of careers are made. It's one thing to come out flat in week one. I guess you didn't have any tape, blah, 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 blah. But once you get the tape, once the ball gets rolling, the good coaches can adjust, and Anthony Weaver and Tim Kelly are getting their first chances. And we also got to be fair. Could I interest you in a stat, Wade?
I would, of course, love to hear a stat.
Texans, they're just the second team in NFL history to face a reigning MVP and Super Bowl MVP in each of their first two games, according to Elias. Sarah Barship put this out there. The other team was the 0-4 Colts. They went 1-1 in those matchups, finished the season 12-4.
Numbers are hot.
It's not like this is an easy task for Tim Kelly and Anthony Weaver. I think we do got to keep that in mind.
No, this is the toughest schedule that I've ever seen from an NFL team just to start off the season with. You got the Super Bowl MVP and the Super Bowl champions, and then you backdoor with the team that people thought was going to win the Super Bowl the year before because they had the MVP and they were 14-2. And both of the teams got better. Like, their rosters improved from last year to this year. So the Texans have their work cut out for them. I tell you what, man, when you talk about the fact that the two teams, and you talked about the adjustments of those of the coaches, of the coordinators having from game one to game two. The problem is that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens are completely night and day with the way that they operate on offense. You look at the Ravens and the Chiefs, they both have really good tight ends, and that's the only similarities. Even though last game the Kansas City Chiefs looked like the Ravens because they was coming downhill, running the ball like they were the old school Bears with Walter Payton or something like that.
But this is a different type of run.
This is a whole different.
You got a 1,000-yard rusher. You got a 1,200-yard rusher who happens to be the quarterback, and then they just added a second-round pick in J.K. Dobbins. I mean, it's a way different type of run. We're going to get more into that. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG. Figgy Fig holding it down, being the best in the world at what he do. I'm surprised that I didn't mention this right off the top, because one of Bill O'Brien's biggest pickups of the season said something extremely disturbing. It actually has me kind of pissed off, to be honest. This cannot happen. It's very troubling. Honesty is the best policy, but Damn. Next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Landlock, Wade Smith in for J-Lo. Figgy Fig holding it down. This is the worst thing that I've heard all week. Honesty is the best policy, and this doesn't necessarily change what we actually saw and what we thought, but what one of Bill O'Brien's prize pickups of the offseason said yesterday is I lost sleep. I didn't get as much sleep last night when I heard this because it disgusts me that much. Randall Cobb, $18 million guaranteed from Bill O'Brien. He is one of the pieces that Bill O'Brien talked about when it came to replacing DeAndre Hopkins, the spreading the ball out, spreading out the love, all that. Nobody in their right mind thought this was a smart deal by the Houston Texans, but we were sold that Randall Cobb was tough, smart, dependable. STD, smart, tough, dependable. He was one of those guys. Two catches in mop-up duty on Thursday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And yesterday at NRG, as the Texans prepared for the game against the Ravens, Randall Cobb had this to say. Just play it, Figgy. I'm
You know, one thing personally I looked at whenever I watched film is it looked like I was playing a preseason game. Felt like I wasn't covering the ball very well. So, you know, one thing that I focused on practice this week was if the ball didn't come to me, you know, taking steps towards the ball carrier, being able to cover the ball in case there's a fumble, being in position to recover it, making sure that we're in football condition ready for the season.
Okay, so that right there is basically talking about effort. Not quitting on plays, being ready to run after the ball. That right there is basically talking about effort. That's what I'm hearing. And when you trade a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and your biggest gripe is that he didn't practice, yet on a Sunday, on a Thursday night, when you knew damn well what needed to happen, you're one of the veterans, you're one of these guys that Bill O'Brien put his coconuts on the table for, and your biggest problem, your biggest takeaway is that you weren't given effort. That is unforgivable. Honesty, blah, 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 that's fine. And we saw that, but he basically confirmed our suspicions right there. That is unacceptable, Smitty. Unacceptable.
So I'll tell you what, I will give him credit because he was honest and he took ownership for what he did wrong, which is something in this country that's very difficult to see people do. But when you look at the actual meat and potatoes of what he's saying, when you got the opening game of the year, when you know that you came in here and you signed a deal to where you're supposed to be a difference maker and there's a lot of people counting on you, you can't treat the first game like it's a preseason game. And maybe you say you looked out there and you felt it looks like that's what it put on the film. But listen, man, this is the biggest game of the year. It's the opening game against Kansas City Chiefs. You're supposed to be a huge difference maker in the slot, and you were not that. You were an afterthought, and you weren't moving as fast as you normally would move. That's a bad look, man. It's a bad look. And, you know, I'd be surprised if you continue to hear this type of honesty out of guys like Randall Cobb and David Johnson, because he talked about how he missed a couple. He ran the wrong routes. I can appreciate
that. That's fine.
That.
I can take running the wrong route. It's a new offense. It's a hard offense to learn. I can understand that. But when you're just talking about effort and you're one of these guys who Bill O'Brien put his coconuts on the table for, and you're saying that, that's unacceptable. I would rather burn $18 million on Kirby and watch Kiki QT go out there and try to find himself than have a veteran in Randall Cobb who got a contract that no one saw coming come on the radio and say that he did not give 100% effort. That's inexcusable.
So, but this is the thing. To be fair, him not going full speed partially could be due to him not knowing what the hell's going on as well. Because we all know that this offense is complicated as hell. Everybody that comes in here, even though you were explained that because of him being a veteran, that it would be easy for him to pick up. But you don't run fast when you're not sure. That is you know, football 101. If you're not sure what you're going to do, you're not going to be moving at full speed. And so it very well could be something that has to do with the same thing you talked about David Johnson. He ran the wrong routes a couple of times because he wasn't sure of what was going on. If Randall Cobb is telling me that he wasn't going full speed just because he didn't feel like it, well, then that's the type of person that you don't want on your team. That's not the thing. And so I have to give him the benefit of the doubt. Well, part of it has to do with all the stuff that's going on with the coronavirus and going from practicing against your teammates to being in the opening night against the Kansas City Chiefs, against the best team in the league last year. And he didn't transition well enough to know this, the lights are on. But that's still discouraging, because you're like, listen, man, this, the lights are on. When the lights come on, I expect you to be able to go out there and perform at the highest level. And that's not what you got 100%. Out of Randall Cobb. And that's not what you got out of the offense.
Here's more excuses from Randall Cobb yesterday at the podium heading into the game Sunday against the Ravens.
We were in a pandemic.
Man.
We missed a lot of time that we didn't really have that opportunity to work together. So it'll be about getting better each week. We're one of the few teams that had a lot of changes in the offseason offensively, you know, bringing in guys like Cooks, myself, and David Johnson. So, you know, in a passing game, it takes a lot to build that chemistry and that trust. And, you know, it'll come. It's a matter of when. And, you know, obviously we got to have that urgency moving forward.
Come on, man.
Listen, he's telling you the truth.
Come on.
He's telling you the truth. Listen this.
Come on, dude.
How many targets did Will Fuller get?
10.
10. The next person got what, like 5?
6.
Who is the one guy on the team that knows what's what and that he trusts? Will Fuller, right? That's the reason why he was getting all those targets.
Well, I don't think he's ever going to trust Randall Cobb. I don't think he's ever going to trust Randall Cobb. Why would you?
I mean, right now he's not on the right foot. I can agree with that from the perspective of he didn't feel like he was going full speed or whatever it may be. But all of that stuff plays into it. Okay. This offense, if you don't trust the guy that's running the routes, it's
then
a pick.
Then put Kiki in. Kiki's been in the system for 3 years.
Well,
we
know he don't trust Kiki because Kiki ass didn't play last year he didn't trust him because he ran the wrong route and it ended the game.
Well,
that's this thing is. If you don't trust the receivers in this offense, then they are not going to get the ball.
Put Kiki in.
He doesn't trust them either.
He's had 2 12 catch games.
That was 3 years ago or whatever it was. 2 years ago. Last year, when Kiki QT should have been the slot receiver, he did not even dress out games.
Well, then let him earn his trust. If he doesn't trust Cobb yet, let Kiki earn the trust.
I mean,
either way, he doesn't trust him. Put someone in there that can make plays.
If you don't trust him, you're not going to put the guy on the field that getting paid peanuts as opposed to the guy that's getting paid $18 million.
That's another issue on itself.
Exactly, it is.
That's another issue.
Exactly.
Here is something else, and I think this was a great job by SportsRadio610.com's Brandon Scott asking Randall Cobb. Okay, you're laying out all these excuses, okay? Your effort sucks. You don't know the offense, blah, 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 blah. How in the hell, as a Texans fan, as a Texans media type, as someone who wants to see this offense click, how in the hell does that change in a matter of 10 days, man?
So how much better can you get in a week is the question. How much better can you get in a week? I know you said you got to do it week to week. What are some of the things that you can, I guess, tackle from week one to week two that, you know, you necessarily can't do everything all at once?
I think the urgency offensively, as far as
us head, Wade,
understanding the importance of every single drive. I think we only had 8 drives in the game. Well, we got to make sure that we stay on the field and
you're cringing.
Have longer drives.
Look at you.
To move the chains. And that comes pretty much down to staying ahead of the sticks, finding a way to stay on the field.
We got to understand urgency. You've been in the league damn near 10 years.
That's bad ball.
You got to understand urgency. That's the problem.
That's bad ball.
Bro, you're a veteran. You're smart, tough, dependable. They brought you in here. We talked about how great of a guy Randall Cobb is. He's a good teammate, smart, tough, dependable. You got to understand urgency. You're cringing now, Wade. Yeah. I feel like you're coming to my side of things now.
Well, you got to understand now. This is my first time hearing these comments, so I'm taking them as I get them. Now, if I'm his teammate, we got a problem, because if you don't understand the urgency of each possession, then you don't understand ball, and that is inherently a problem. Can that get fixed in 10 days? That's doubtful. You know what I'm saying? If you didn't know that going into that ball game that you're playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs can easily put up points every time they touch the ball, and you don't understand the urgency each time that you touch the ball, that is a problem. I got to pull you to the side. We have a conversation. As a veteran on the team, I got to talk to you. Like, bro, if you feel that way, you can't say that to the media, because it makes you and it makes us look like we don't know what the hell we're doing over here.
Well, we already knew that, though.
Well, but see that, but you can't, if you confirm it, that's why you're so angry right now. When you confirm
I was angry to begin with when they signed
it. I understand that. But when you confirm it, now you're irate. Now you're fuming. When I'm listening to it, I'm saying,
bro,
what do you mean you didn't understand the sense of urgency?
You've been in the league 10 years. You've been in the league for a long time.
That's bad ball.
And not only that, Smitty.
That is the nicest way I can say about somebody being ridiculously bad. Smitty. That's bad ball.
It would be one thing for Ross Blacklock to say this. It would be one thing for one of the young guys to say that. I would understand
that. That's a great point.
But you're a veteran. The coach basically believed in you. Like, he gave you a contract that nobody saw coming. That right there should make you understand the urgency. You're playing against the Super Bowl champs on Sunday Night Football, and you didn't understand urgency. That's troubling, man. That's just extremely, extremely troubling. Let's go to Johnny real quick on a Football Friday presented by Carbach and the greatness of Hoppadillo. Johnny, go ahead.
Man, I'll tell you what, Bill O'Brien is the one that gave this guy the money. Randall Cobb didn't come in and write his own check. Bill O'Brien needs to be held accountable for not recognizing talent and for paying people money that don't deserve it. He's done it over and over and over again. Randall Cobb is not the problem of this team. Bill O'Brien, it's the same thing every year. We've got a gripe about him paying, you know, I mean, go all the way back to Osweiler. I mean, it just is ridiculous when you look at the pattern of what this man has done with his team.
I'm with you, Johnny. And, I mean, it does go back to Bill O'Brien. But at the end of the day, Randall Cobb's on the roster. He's on the field. We'll get more into this. Wade Smith, Landry Locker fired up here on a Football Friday presented by Carbach and the greatness that is Hoppadillo. Speaking of B.O.B., keep the calls coming, too. It is Football Friday, 713-572-4610. We're going to hear Bill O'Brien's final words before Sunday, and we're also going to get Smitty's keys. Football Friday continues next.
Messing with the Zoo.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're going to hit. Go ahead, Randall Cobb. Go ahead.
So how do you get – how much better can you get in a week is, I guess, is the question. How much better can you get in a week? I know you said you got to do it week to week. What are some of the things that you can, I guess, tackle from week one to week two that, you know, you necessarily can't do everything all at once?
I think the urgency offensively as far as us understanding the importance of every single drive.
Right,
I think
we
only had eight drives in the game.
I've had enough of Randall Cobb for at least the next 20 minutes.
Wait, could you peep how he took like 3 seconds in between each word because he was trying to figure out the right way to say what he was saying, and it came out completely terrible altogether.
Just bad. Just absolutely bad. Absolutely bad. Landry Locker, Wade Smith in for the OG, John Lopez. We'll hear Bill O'Brien's final words before the game on Sunday very shortly, live out there at NRG. But before we do, Wade, let's get some keys. Give us some keys. What needs to change for the Texans to go out there and, in fairness, do what Bill O'Brien has done a few times, win a game that you don't expect him to win. That's kind of the DNA, the good DNA of Bill O'Brien. His team doesn't quit. And a lot of times when you count them out, they do go out there and win. As a 12-year NFL vet, Texan ambassador, Pro Bowl offensive lineman, when you look at this, what needs to change for the Texans to get this done?
So I have about 6 keys to win the game.
Give me all of them.
It's going to take all 6.
Give me a janitor keychain. I want a janitor keychain from you.
The first key... actually, Clint Sterner yesterday was talking with him on Clint Sterner in the show, and he was talking about Jordan Akins and talking about how he needs to be more involved in the offense. And I completely agreed with what Sterner said, and it sounds something like this.
A tight end getting hammered because he can't pass protection.
Well, maybe that's what we need to do with Darren Fells. After watching that, maybe we should put him more out in pass routes instead
no,
of blocking.
No, I can't. We can't go into everything that I saw.
You know what doing, Darren Fells? He set the tight end touchdown record last year.
Don't matter.
You watch the film, Darren Fells. We saw him blocking. Maybe he's one of the guys that can create separation. Is that what you saw?
This is precise. I know what you're trying to get me to say, but I'm not going to say it. This is precisely why stats are misleading. This is precisely why stats are misleading.
Speed
is
merchant.
That stat right there where Darren Fells set a franchise record for touchdowns. That's great. Put him inside the 10-yard line, right? Let's not go empty and have him one of the 5 guys you got running routes. Let's not go 11 personnel and go one tight end, one back three wide receivers and have Darren Fells in a two-point stance running a five-yard out route. It's not. There's no separation. There is zero advantage to that. There's no doubt. I'm doubling and tripling down on the fact that Jordan Akins has to be the tight end moving forward on the field 80% of the time.
No question about it. Jordan Akins has to be the number one tight end on this roster. He's got to be. When there's one tight end in the game, Jordan Akins needs to be the one out there on the field, because what he provides for you in the run game is no different than what you're getting right now out of Darren Fells. So you're not losing anything there. But what you're gaining on the pass side of the thing is that Jordan Akins is the type of guy that you saw the catches that he made in the game. The first guy rarely tackles him. He's a much more dynamic player. That causes teams like the Baltimore Ravens issues, because if you're in 11 personnel, they don't think that you're running the ball, especially with Jordan Akins in the game. But that's what it's going to take to beat the Baltimore Ravens, is they got to run the ball out of 11 personnel. They got to run the ball out of looks that don't tell the defense they're going to run the ball. That's the first key to the game. Now, defensively, the Texans have to force Lamar Jackson to roll to his left. If he rolls to his left, that means he's not going to make those passes downfield accurately to guys like Hollywood Brown and Andrews and Duvernay and all the
Sneed.
It gets me frustrated and gets me a little concerned when I start saying these names, because they're so productive. But to try to minimize their productivity, you got to get Lamar Jackson rolling to his left, because if you do that against Pat Mahomes, it don't matter, because he can roll left, he can roll right, he can run straight backwards. He's like Bernie Kosar on Tecmo Bowl, where you just run back 30 yards and he throws it up and it's going to be a touchdown to Webster Slaughter every time. You can't do that against Mahomes, but against Lamar Jackson, he struggles if he has to roll to his left. So that means you got to bring blitzes in his face and rush the passer in a manner that forces him to roll to the left. If you do that, now you can get him in a position to where you can get him throwing interceptions, get him turning the ball over, or getting off the field on third downs. That's the second key to the game.
All right, that's key number two. Wade Smith's keys to the game. We are too deep right now. Keep it going.
I'm
going to
stay on the defensive side of the ball. When I was watching the Chiefs game, I saw the Texans throw out a 24 defense. And a 24 defense is where you have two defensive linemen, and it was Charles Amenihue and it was Brandon Dunn. And then you had four linebackers. You had Scarlett, Whitney Merciless, Cunningham, and you had McKinney in the game. And you had McKinney and Merciless as defensive ends, and you had two inside linebackers. You had one inside linebacker was Cunningham, and they lined it up. They lined up Brendan Scarlett at the nose and ran games. And I believe it was the play that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't know if he scored on this play, but he had like a 20-yard run. It was a bunch of missed tackles. It was a beautifully blocked play. But you're not giving yourself a chance against teams that can run the football. Now, against the Kansas City Chiefs, maybe Anthony Weaver thought to himself, they're not going to be heavy run game. We got to have athletes on the field so we can get after the quarterback. But against the Baltimore Ravens, you got to throw that whole defense out the window. You cannot line up with that type of scheme against the Ravens, because they will run the ball downhill on you. You got to be fast. And I understand that you throw some extra DBs in the game, but you need to have at least three bigs in the game at all time against the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't want to backtrack. We're halfway through Smitty's keys to the game on Sunday here on In the Loop. Smitty in for the OG Landry Locker. What was the point of cutting Angelo Blackson? And I know some people say, well, it's just Angelo Blackson. He's played 40% of the snaps for you. He's not the best pass rusher, but he can stop the run, and he's good on special teams. I mean, he's good against the run, and he's good on special teams. I've watched Charles Amenihue. I watched every snap that Charles Amenihue has played the last 6 years. And I'm telling you, against Big 12 defenses, there were times when it comes to recognizing the run and stopping the run where Amenihue struggled. Even when he was at his best, even when he was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, he struggled there. What's wrong with having a guy like Angelo Blackson when you're facing all these teams that stop the run? What was the point of that?
So this is the thing. I don't think it was a decision between Amenihue and Blackson. I think it was a decision between Blackson and P.J. Hall. And what we saw out of P.J. Hall against the Kansas City Chiefs was something that was very, very – you saw bright signs. You saw somebody that you say, oh, I like what I'm seeing out of this kid.
What about Carlos Watkins? They kept Carlos Watkins.
I mean, Carlos Watkins and Angelo Blackson, to me, are basically the same guy. You know what I mean?
So one's played 40% of the snaps the last 2 years.
Well, I mean, that happens. One guy's getting paid a lot bit more than the other. And so you go with the guy that's a cheaper option. If you look at the two guys and they're both similar in talent and ability, you're going to keep the cheaper option. And so I would say right. That's why they got that. But
I digress.
But P.J. Hall is a guy, when I said three people have to be up front playing down linemen, he needs to be one of those three.
He looked good.
He looked very good against the Kansas City Chiefs. He's going to have to continue to look good against the Ravens if the Texans want to have a chance.
All right, the fourth key, courtesy of Wade Smith. So we got make Lamar go to his left.
Yep.
We got the guys that need to be on the field. What else?
Calais Campbell. Find him, double him every single play, pass or run. It might mess up your systems. The reason why the Texans struggled so much against Chris Jones is because when they didn't double him, he whooped ass. When they doubled him, he got his ass whooped. It was very simple. Going into the game and say, hey, in the run game, you got to double Chris Jones.
Man.
Every play that they doubled Chris Jones, they made him look like a non-elite football player. They made him look like just a guy. But when they left him one-on-one in pass pro against a guy that is a solid at best right guard, average most of the time, he's going to lose that battle. And I'm not mad at him at all, because I expect Chris Jones to win that battle. He's an elite pass rusher on the interior. Calais Campbell, you got to trade him the same way. You cannot let him play a down and not be doubled. When people play J.J. Watt, he's doubled every play, unless you move him and figure out a way to get him around that.
Man.
But that's how they have to approach Calais Campbell. Double him every play.
That scares me. Now, is it an advantage as a guy who played on the offensive line that Calais Campbell, who was in Jacksonville the last few years, that most of the guys on this offensive line at least have seen him twice a year for the last few years? Or does it really matter that he's in Baltimore and it's a different squad?
I would say go back and look at the tape of the offensive line against Calais Campbell.
I don't want to.
Do you think? Well,
am I looking at the 2017 or the 2019 tape?
You don't want to look at any of it. Calais Campbell has always been a productive football player in our division when he was before our division. That part don't matter. But if you leave him one-on-one, he's going to whoop ass.
That was a fifth-round pick they gave up for Calais Campbell.
Hey, that's why the Ravens are in the position that they're in, because they make moves. They make draft picks.
Fifth-round pick, bro.
They make trades. All of them, you don't look at them and say, oh, they didn't get good value on them.
Dude.
They get good value. They get great value on all of their trades. Peters, Campbell, the guys that they draft, start and play early, and they fit them into their system. They have an identity.
Orlando Brown and Mark Andrews.
Both guys that were available for the Houston Texans, and they didn't get picked.
All right, give me some more keys.
Force, this is the last one, I believe. Force Lamar Jackson to throw the ball outside of the numbers. If he throws the ball in between the numbers, up those hashes, it's going to be a long day for the Houston Texans, because Lamar Jackson is an excellent throw of the ball in between the numbers. But when you throw the ball outside the numbers, it tests his accuracy. His ball might sail a little bit. You might have opportunity to get you some interceptions and some turnovers. So they got to force to basically leave those corners on the island and have nine guys in between the numbers and make sure that he has to throw the ball out there. Now, that makes you a little nervous, because you say, well, the cornerback position isn't the strong suit for the Texans. Well, I like what I see out of Bradley Roby. He played well in the first game. I expect him to continue to play well. So on one side, you're good there. And on the other side, play the guy that's the best at the position. Lonnie Johnson is the second best corner on the team. Play him. He didn't play in the first half of the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. He needs to play damn near every snap against the Baltimore Ravens. That's how you're going to give yourself opportunity to beat the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, there we go. So to reset Smitty's keys.
Numero uno.
Number one, Beyonce. Make Lamar Jackson go to the left.
Numero dos.
Go for it on fourth downs. Be aggressive, B-O-B. Be aggressive, oh, B-E, aggressive.
I didn't even get to that one.
But it's there.
I didn't get to that one. That was the one that was supposed to be in there. I must have skipped down on it. Yeah. Let me just put this out there. Go for it on every fourth down.
That's if Baltimore does.
That's what they do.
They're analytic.
What do you have to lose? Does anybody expect the Texans to win this game?
I hope they do.
They need to approach it with a very aggressive mindset. You ain't got to worry about people saying, oh, that was dumb for you to go for it on fourth and whatever it is. Listen, you need to create opportunities for you to stay with the ball in your hands. If you give the ball to the other team, more likely than not, they're going to score. The matchups tell you that. Bill O'Brien said it before when he played against the Kansas Chiefs last year in the playoffs. He felt like he had to score 50 points. He said that was he was exaggerating a bit when he said it, but he knew that he had to put up a bunch of points against them.
Probably don't want to kick a field goal on fourth and one.
I understand, but it's a true statement. When you play the Kansas City Chiefs, every drive matters. every drive you got to have a sense of urgency. That little disappointing what I heard out of Randy Cobb on that audio I heard.
I don't know why you brought that up.
But I'm just saying, the Texans have to have that mentality. Every drive, we got to get points. So on fourth downs, go for it.
So key one, Beyonce, Lamar to the left. Key two, go for it on fourth down.
Numero tres.
Stay away from that 2-4 defense. The two down linemen and four linebackers, a little more P.J. Hall. Is number three.
Numero cuatro.
Numero cuatro. Familiar face, Calais Campbell, added to the Ravens' defense. Double team him. Do not let Calais Campbell rough up the interior of that offensive line.
Number five.
Make LJ throw outside the numbers, which is easier said than done when you got a tight end like Mark Andrews. You got a slot receiver like Hollywood Brown and Devin Duvernay, as well as those guys coming out of the backfield, Dobbins and Ingram. Easier said than done. That one might be the most difficult, Smitty.
Yeah, and then the sixth one is this. Make sure that Jordan Akins is the starting tight end on this roster going forward, because he gives you the best chance to win, especially against these Baltimore Ravens. And my guy Brandon Scott did an article about that on radio.com, Sports Radio 610. You can go there and check it out. Talking about the fact that Jordan Akins needs to get more snaps. You don't have to name him a starter. Just play him like he's a starter. If Bill O'Brien said, you know what, he's always, as long as he's healthy, he's going to be a player on this team. He's going to get on the field. He's going to play a lot. That's great. He needs to play more. He needs to get targeted more. He's fast turning into Duke Johnson of last year. If this guy needs to get opportunities to touch the ball, he needs targets. And so
hopefully not.
That's what the Texans need.
Hopefully they actually,
Baltimore Ravens,
they actually maximize his potential. Those are Smitty's six keys. The most important key, though, courtesy of Seth Payne this morning, Whiskey Johnson, baby.
There's something where sometimes you can get to a certain point, but then ultimately it holds you back. And I can't stop thinking about the phenomenon of, let's call it Whiskey Johnson, where when you got the Whiskey Johnson, and it's like, it does certain things for you. It helps you last longer and what have you. And maybe it makes you better in one respect, but ultimately you're never going to be the world's best lover if you're relying on the Whiskey Johnson to always bail you out. And I feel like O'Brien does certain things that gets his team to a certain level, but then after that, it's just you got the this offense has Whiskey Johnson.
Yeah,
it's not it's like a, it's one or two extra shots beyond the point of ideal returns.
I have no idea if the Texans are ready for this game on Sunday. I have no idea if the coaches, the players, the staff. I have no idea if they're ready. Whiskey Johnson.
Yeah, the Whiskey Johnson.
The Whiskey Johnson.
All sometimes right. The Whiskey Johnson gives great gifts, and other times it just embarrasses the hell out of you.
Fair enough.
That analogy brought to you by years and years of lulling women into thinking I had more endurance than I did based on the fact that I was drunk the first time we heard.
Smitty's keys and Whiskey Johnson. Let's hear from Bill O'Brien. Final words before the big game on Sunday, and something I really want to talk about with Wade Smith, Tempo Gate. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.